Morning. So good to see you today. We appreciate your presence. It is a beautiful day here on the inside, maybe not so much on the outside, but we're grateful for the rain, the sunshine as well, and we appreciate so much the opportunity to be here today. We're thankful that you have chosen to be here, and we pray that our worship together will be uplifting to one another and ultimately glorify God. We're looking today at Psalm 139. I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 139. The theme of our study today, God knows all about our struggles. That statement, God knows all about our struggles, ought to be incredibly encouraging to each and every one of us. It may be the case that sometimes when we face difficulties in this life, that we feel as if we are all alone, in many respects, helpless. But I assure you that is not the case. There are so many different ways that you could look at Psalm 139. David, of course, provides insight into some of the wonderful attributes of the God that we serve. But then the flip side of that is, there are some things that we ought to consider by way of our attitude toward the Father that will help us when we face tough times in this life. You remember Job said many, many years ago, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Someone said in days gone by in a very profound yet simplistic way, life is hard. And really in so many, many ways, at best, life is hard. Many of us know firsthand something about the difficulties and trials of life. Whether we like it or not, many times we learn more by experience than by reading something in a book. You learn a lot when you tend to suffer in this world. And so what we want to do is talk a moment or two about the God who knows all about our struggles. I want to call your attention to Psalm 139, and I want us to look together at what David said about some of the great attributes of the God that we serve. And really, there are three things that David underscores about God that ought to help us immensely. Number one, the fact that God is omniscient. God knows everything. He sees everything. You remember Solomon said many years ago, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Make no mistake about it. When you struggle in this life, God knows it. Now that being said, let's look at Psalm 139 and think for a moment or two about what David is saying and how appropriate it is for us to consider this text in light of some of the struggles that we face in life. David begins by saying, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now just think about that for a minute. David is saying to the God of heaven and earth, God, you have the ability to pierce or to bore a hole in my soul. You know me inside out. You know me from top to bottom. He knows everything about us. And so he says, Lord, you have searched me. You have known me. He said, you know my sitting down and my rising up. The fact that God knows when we're standing or sitting says something about his omniscience. The fact that he is all-knowing. And then consider the fact that we're living in a world of some 8 billion people. As you drive down interstate and as you make your way maybe from home to the office, or maybe you're going from home to school or wherever, and all the cars that are passing you by, to remember that the same God that knows what you face in this life knows what those who are passing you along the road. He knows what they're facing. He said, you understand my thought afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down. Now note verse 4. David said, God, you are acquainted with all my ways. To realize that the God that we serve is acquainted with every aspect of my life. He would go on to say, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows not only what I say, but he knows what I'm about to say. God has the ability to read my mind, to ascertain my thoughts. They are before him. Down in verse 6, listen to what he says. In light of the God who knows us, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He said, it is high, I cannot attain it. I think David is saying, look, when I step back and consider the fact that God knows everything about me, I am left in utter amazement that this is the God that I serve. To somehow try to wrap my mind around these facts, it's beyond my comprehension. So number one, to understand that God is all-knowing, he's omniscient. But then he goes on to say that God is omnipresent. Pick up now in verse 7. He asked the question, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He said, if I ascend into heaven, he said, you're there. And then he goes on to say, if I make my bed in Sheol, that is in the Hadean realm, that would be the equivalent to the Hebrew word Sheol. David is saying, look, if I go into heaven, you're there. If I were to somehow make my way into the Hadean realm, he said, look, you're there too. And then he said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. Let's just stop for a moment. What David is saying is, physically speaking, there is nowhere that we can go to escape God's presence. There is absolutely nowhere that we could go to, flee to somehow remove ourselves from the presence of the God that we serve. If we go into heaven, he's there. If we're in the Hadean realm, he's there too. If we go out to the uttermost part, the deepest resources of the sea, he said, even there you're present. You remember what the Hebrew writer said many years ago? I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now there's a third consideration here very quickly. Drop down and look at verse 14. David not only speaks to the omniscience of the God we serve, to the omnipresent God, the fact that he is ever present, but then he brings to mind the fact that this God is all powerful. He is omnipotent. And so in verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. The intricacies of the human body, the complexity of human anatomy. When you begin to look at the body, to understand that God is the designer of that body, and that God has made us in his own image and likeness, and that this God that has created us, he knows all about us. He is with us wherever we go. And David here is driving that point home. Now note the continuation. My frame was not hidden when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. that beautiful unborn baby that begins to develop in the womb. Who designed that? Who did that, as we might say? Oh, God did. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book they are all written. He said, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, in light of all of that, I want you to listen to what David says in verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David here is saying the thoughts of God were something to be prized or valued in this life. There is a reason why God gave us His Word. The reason is so that we might have counsel, comfort, direction, if you please, so that we might somehow be able to navigate through the choppy waters of this place we call the world, life itself. Now, there is a second thing I want to call your attention to. And I want you to see how these two thoughts merge together. On the one hand, to understand something about the attributes of the Heavenly Father. But then, what about our attitude toward our Heavenly Father? You remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6? What is often called the model prayer said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The Lord recognized the Father in heaven. And there's something great about our Father in heaven. Now, that being said, I want to call your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5. And look over in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7. In verse 7, Peter makes a statement that ought to help us as we struggle in this life. He would say, casting all your cares upon Him. And the reason, he said, is because He cares for you. So number one, to understand something about our caretaker. That we serve a God who is a benevolent God. A God who is interested in our plight here on planet Earth. We have often said that God is not just interested in us, but He has invested in us. So what about our great caretaker? Well, if I understand what David is saying, when David said in the long ago, you're acquainted with all my ways, you understand my thought from afar, there's not a word on my tongue, but you know it all together. There's nowhere I can flee from your presence. If I go into heaven, you're there. If I go into the Hadean realm, you're there too. No matter where I go, I cannot escape the presence of you, God. So what about this caretaker? When I face trials in this life, is God mindful of that? When Job said many years ago, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Did Job know something about trouble and trial? Job was in the very whirlwind of difficulties. Job lost, as we might say, everything. Near and dear to his heart. He lost 10 children. Now, can you imagine burying 10 children? Job did. Add to that, facing economic fallout, to literally lose everything that you have. And then let's just add to that human suffering. Job was afflicted with boils. His own wife, in his time of need, failed to support him. Job faced a lot, didn't he? And James would write over in James chapter 5, you have heard of the sufferings of Job. So here was a guy that everybody could somehow relate to. When we face trials in this life, to realize that there is a God in heaven, He knows all about our trials. Furthermore, He understands something about our trepidations, our fears. When David wrote many years ago, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. David was a man after God's own heart. And here's a guy that sought to the best of his ability to walk in harmony with the will of God. Now, he had his own faults, no doubt. But here's a God that faced trepidation in life. Are there times when we are filled with fear and anxiety? Yes, without question. There are times in this life when I can't wrap my mind around the experience that I'm going through. And then let's just add to that the tears of life. You remember what David said in Psalm 56? David said, "Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book?" Do you know what David's saying there? David is saying that as a human being, when we face trial and trepidation, when tears are coursing our cheeks, there is a God in heaven who knows all about that. God is acutely aware of my struggles, my trials, my tribulations, and my tears. He knows all about it. He is our great caretaker. Paul said many years ago that it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. That He is the giver of all life, breath, and all things. So as our caretaker, the question is, does He care about our cares? And the answer is yes. Now, what Peter said ought to be of encouragement to us. Peter said that we are to cast all our cares. Look at that little three-letter word, all. Don't just cast some of your cares, but rather Peter is saying, I want you to cast all your cares on Him. Why, Peter? Because He cares for you. Are there people in our world today that if we were to pull them to the side and just ask them point blank, does anyone care about you? What would they say? There would some, no doubt, say, you know what, I got a loving family, I got friends galore. There are people that I know in my heart of heart, I know without a shadow of a doubt they care about me. But then there are other people that would say, you know what, I don't know anybody that cares about me. They don't care if I live, they don't care if I die, they just don't care. That's not the God we serve. No, the Bible says casting all your cares on Him. And here's why. Because He cares for you. Now, I mentioned our trials, our trepidations, our tears. One of the reasons why it is an imperative that we grow our faith is because, as Job said many years ago, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You may not have trouble today, but I can tell you this, you live long enough, you're going to have some trouble and trial in life. You may not shed tears today, tomorrow, next month, next year, but there'll come a day when you'll shed tears. When you will hurt deeply. And what Peter is saying, you need to understand that when you face those days in this life, you need to learn to place your cares at the altar of God. In James chapter 1, you remember when James said many years ago, count it all joy when you fall into various trials? I don't know of anybody that relishes tough times. But what I think James is saying is there is a lot we can learn. Number one, about life when we face tough times. Number two, we can learn a lot about ourselves when we face tough times. When push comes to shove, when I am on the ground suffering, I find out something in relationship to my faith and the relationship that I have forged with God. And the bottom line is, if I do not have a strong faith, tough times may come. It may be when trial comes my way, my faith is not what it ought to be. But I can use that situation in life to grow my faith. To say, okay, I wasn't ready for what has come my way. But I can tell you this, my resolve is I'm going to dig deeply. I'm going to have a faith that is rooted in God. And I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn from this experience. One of the things that I've got to do, whether I like it or not, I've got to endure throughout these tough times. I've got to persevere, come what may. Let me share with you a couple of passages of Scripture that ought to encourage. The first is found in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul makes a statement that we're all mindful of. He said, in nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul here is simply telling us, when we face anxieties and trials, the trepidations of life, that we can turn to a God in heaven. We stand before His throne as His people with the privilege and the right to call upon His name. As Peter said many years ago, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. When I stand in the presence of God in prayer, I have every assurance that my God in heaven is listening and listening attentively to everything I have to say. Now, the result of that, Paul said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Over in 1 John chapter 5, John said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God hears us. God is listening attentively when we come before His throne. In Hebrews chapter 4, you remember the Hebrew writer said that we have such a high priest, Jesus Christ. He has passed into the heavens. He goes on to say, we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but has been tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. And then he would say, let us therefore boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's exactly what Peter's saying. Peter is saying that we have the opportunity to come before our divine caretaker, one who is interested in everything that we're experiencing in this life. And the God who is our caretaker is interested and concerned about our cares. Back in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 121, the psalmist makes a statement that I think really underscores what David said in Psalm 139. Now, David stresses to all of us the fact that God is all-knowing, He's ever-present, He is all-powerful. You remember the psalmist said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And then he steps back and asks this question, from whence comes my help? Good question, isn't it? Where's my help coming from? The psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord. Now listen to what he said. Who made the heaven and the earth. And I think what he's saying is, if the God we serve had the power to bring this world into existence, then there is nothing absolutely nothing that he cannot help me with in this life. Now that's the God we serve. That's the God that we ought to be grateful for. Sorry about that. If you were asleep, you're not now. But that's a God we serve. We serve a God who is interested in us. And David is expressing that as well as Peter. Throughout the scriptures, over and over again, the Bible assures us that the God that we serve is working on our behalf. David made a statement in Psalm 56:9 that we ought to underline in our Bible. David said many years ago, "This I know." What do you know, David? God is for me. God's on my side. Was it not Paul who asked the question, if God be for us, who can be against us? To realize that there is a God in heaven who is acutely mindful of my struggles. But I am not here on planet Earth battling life alone. But there's a God who's there for me. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I encourage you to come to Christ. To realize that life at best is as tough can be. To understand that you need God in your life. There are a lot of folks that are trying to battle life alone. I don't see how they do it, but they somehow get up every day, forge ahead. But wouldn't it be easier if the Lord were on your side? Wouldn't it be easier to fight the battles of life with God at your side? Now, that being the case, what would you need to do to become a child of God? Well, first and foremost, you have to have faith that the God that we read about in Scripture, that the God of heaven is real. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. And then to be willing to repent, to turn from a life of sin. As Paul said many years ago, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And then to express with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Well, what's that? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be buried with Christ in baptism. To die to the love and the practice of sin. To rise to walk in newness of life. When we are baptized into Christ, the Bible tells us we become numbered among the saved. Mark 16:16. That we enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38. That all of our sins are washed away. Acts 22:16. That God puts us in the church over which He is the Savior, Ephesians 5:23. If you're here this morning, and maybe life has gotten the best of you, and maybe you feel like you can't make it another day, and you need the Lord battling for you. One of the beautiful things about being a child of God is we can pray for one another. We can pray on behalf of one another. We can encourage one another. James said, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. He went on to say, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?